when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. All you dear Blood River Radio people out there, our great Blood River Radio family, thank God you're in. Thank God you keep supporting our show. We could never be on the air without your support. Without your support, there would be no Blood River Radio. There would be no Liberty News Radio. There would be nothing. There would just be dead airspace unless you went to someplace else. But people, we have a great show for you tonight. We had to search high and low because some of our co-hosts, I'm kind of worried about them. We couldn't find them. One of them is very sick. If you will, before we go to our regular routine, please keep Ran Owen. All of y'all know Ran. He's our Alabama lone wolf. Keep him in prayer because he's very sick. We can't get in touch with him now. I'm really worried about him. But anyway, people, this is July the 16th, and you're our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty, 2022. And as we always say on this show, there is no name under the heavens, under the sun, which man can be saved except Jesus Christ Almighty. Jesus Christ Almighty God, he paid the sin price for us while we were yet sinners. As people, you also know the drill. We always start this show. We don't do anything. We don't go one foot without saying a prayer. So if you will, bow your heads. Even if you're not a Christian, just show a little respect for the people that are Christians. Just show a little respect for Blood River Radio and just bow your heads. Almighty God, Almighty Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created the entire universe, everything we know in existence, Lord. He created you, God, you created the entire periodic table. You created all the elements. You just spoke it into existence. Oh, God, nothing on this earth existed until you created it. It's out of your mouth, oh, Lord. Lord, we ask you to please stay with us tonight. Let us always ride toward the sound of the gunfire. Never let us back from our duty, Lord, to try to do your will. Let us always try to honor you and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did pay the sin price, Lord. Lord, if you will, give us the courage and the wisdom. First of all, Lord, give us the wisdom and the discernment to know who the enemy is, what the enemy is, and, Lord, let us know how to respond in a way that will please you, Lord. And, Lord, it doesn't really matter whether or not we win or lose. All that matters, Lord, is if we just serve you and try to do your will. If you will, Lord, keep Ren Owen, especially in your prayers tonight, in mind like tonight, Lord, and please heal him. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, people, we have a great treat for you tonight. We have somebody on tonight that I've known just about all my life. He's one of the few people on earth that I really trust. We've had our ups and downs. We fought like lions when we were kids, but there's nothing I wouldn't do for this man that's coming on. I love him to death. I consider him closer to me than a real brother. I really do. His name is CW. And listen, he's not a so-called money expert. He's not a college professor in economics. He's none of that. But I can tell you flat out, I've seen a lot of those people, these experts, that are broke and died broke. And this guy hasn't. This guy has thrived as an amateur, and he knows, I don't know anybody that knows as much about money, any kind of money. And we're going to try to talk about the different kinds of money. If most of you people out there are like me, you really don't know what's going on in the world with money. And really, and we're going to cover all that tonight. We're going to try to give you a tool that you can use to get through the coming. It looks like an apocalypse is coming with our money system. With that, I'm going to shut up. And we also have Mark Tomey. He's the League of the South. He's second in command only to Dr. Hill. He's going to be laying in the weeds at the end if we have time. he's raring at the chomping in the bit to ask CW some questions, survival questions. So anyway, how are you doing tonight, CW?
Eddie, I'm doing great. How are you? It's good to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you. One of these days, I got to come over there and kill some of them brim you got. I've been wanting to come over there and eat some of those suckers, but I've been so busy, I couldn't get there. But I am. I give you my solemn vow. But anyway,
go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know you're a busy man, and you're certainly welcome anytime.
Yes, sir. And likewise, like I say, people, I've known this man many, many years. I knew his precious younger brother, considered my younger brother. I think it's the second year we had to bury him, I think 2 years ago, wouldn't it, CW? I believe. But that was
traumatic. Right,
we honor him. And that's one of the reasons, big reason I'm always determined to say a prayer when we open up this show. I can always have. Stan in the background, because Stan was the best Christian I know. He makes me look like filthy rags. Anyway, people, that we talked about what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about everything to do with money, and I hope there's enough time that we can get to talk about the end game tonight that we want to reach to. The end point is with the Fed, with Janet Yellen and the Fed. It's recently come to our attention that she said that they're going to kill what's left of the dollar. You know, it's dying a painful death, and they're going to bring in. They want to bring in this digital world currency, and so that's all I'm going to say about that. Because if we have time, we're going to get CW to talk about that. CW, I thought just to get the people. I don't know how much they know about finances, but this is a critical. This is not normal Blood River Radio stuff, but I'm telling you, people, there is one hell of a catastrophe coming our way. And the money, as you know it, is probably going to be no longer in existence. I talked to a lady just today, CW, and she told me that she has a friend that's having a hard time using checks. That's one question I want to ask you later. I don't know if you know about it or not. But anyway, CW, if you can, why don't you give people a brief history of money, if you know. For instance, like I know, and I'll shut up real quick. First, you know, silver, for instance, and gold goes back. You know, Abraham paid for Sarah's grave. He bought a cave with silver. So anyway, and keep in mind, he's not an expert. I mean, he's not a college professor. He's just smarter about money than anybody I know. Give him a brief history of money that you know of, CW, to just get the people going.
Sure, Ed. Well, it's a complicated topic, and I think you're right in your preparatory comments. We are in a time of great turmoil and change, and our money is definitely headed for some kind of evolution or revolution. And this is all controlled by what I call the money mandarins. These are the people who have their fingers on the buttons of power. And they have been in control of the system for quite a while, accumulating massive quantities of wealth and using it very cleverly to position themselves for this transition. So having said that, we'll go back and just start with some very basics and kind of work our way up the food chain, so to speak. But basically, money is, I'm going to read you a definition here. It says it's a commodity accepted by general consent as a medium of economic exchange. So I'm going to take issue with that definition a little bit. It says it's a commodity. Well, it's not really a commodity anymore. It used to be when we had commodity money, which that would be stuff like gold and silver. And actually, other commodities have been used for money in the past. I'll mention a few of them here. In America, at the time of the American Indians, they used shells, which they made beads out of, and it's called wampum. That was their money. They didn't have gold and silver. They also didn't have a digital printing press like we do now. Tobacco was used as money in the early part of the American colonization. When the United States was first inhabited by Europeans, there really wasn't a lot of money here. In fact, the United States didn't have a mint. It didn't have its own money. And a lot of the coins that were circulating at that time were from Spain, England, and Europe. And that's what the people used that had access to that. But they all didn't have access to that commodity money, and they used other things. And one of them, most Americans will recognize the word a buck. A buck is another term for the dollar, and back in the day, that was actually a deerskin. So that's where our word buck comes from. But they used stones have been used as money, as I mentioned, iron, silver, gold, commodity monies, etc. If you go to a prison, they don't have money, so they use cigarettes and candy and sometimes alcohol. But basically, what money is it's a technology. And the technology allows the measure, exchange, and store of value. So we'll get into those a little bit, but let's take the medium of exchange part of it. If you go and get a haircut, let's say that haircut costs you $10, and then you go over to the store in the mall next to the haircut shop, and you buy a shirt, and that shirt costs $10. Well, what's happened there is you've equated the value of a shirt with a haircut. So a shirt's equal to $10, and a haircut's equal to $10, so a shirt's equal to a haircut. And that would be the measure of value function of money. Now, when you go buy something, you give them money, and they give you the good or service, and that's called the medium of exchange. You're exchanging money for a good or service. And the reason they take the money is because...
CW, we have to go to our first break. Hear the music. We have to go to our first break. CW, we hate to interrupt you, but we'll be right back. People, see what I mean? The guy is a wizard, but we've only scratched the surface. We'll be right back, people. Hang on.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principal minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, this is going to be totally different from our normal forte, but listen to something. We're starting with the very easy, the very basic. You know, we're not going to have a swimmer the first day to jump in and say, hey, you need to swim the English Channel. We're starting you off, and we're going to go from the simple to the complex. But basically what we want to do in the end, our end goal is to help fortify you. It's when. That this money system, what's left of it, is going to be crashed. And CW probably agree with me. Later on, if we get time, we talk about inflation. What you're seeing, what's I think, is hyperinflation right now. Probably the powers to be, that's the one, another one of their ways of running the money where we have the dollar into the ground. But anyway, so if you will, CW, go back. You were talking about the history of money, and you're talking about where the buck came from. I never knew that at all. But go ahead, CW. Continue on where you were.
Sure. Well, I think we were talking about the functions of money as a medium of exchange, a measure of value, and importantly, a store of value. Now, that's the thing that most people should worry about, is the store of value function of the money, because if they continue to create money out of thin air, i.e. printing it up, that's the euphemism, they're printing money, although technically they don't print money anymore, because that implies putting ink on paper, and they don't do that now. They just create money on a computer. It's kind of interesting and really fascinating as to how this is done. It's seems convoluted and complex, but it's really pretty simple. And if your listeners have time, they may want to check out a YouTube series called The Hidden Secrets of Money. It's by a gentleman called Mike Maloney. I think there's 8 or 10 episodes, and he has had a professional crew, and he has a really good series, and it'll explain a lot of the intricacies of this system. But getting back to what we were talking about and the store of value, that's where people are going to be hurting, because a lot of them have worked. They've exchanged their labor and their life for money, hoping later to use it when they get old. And I'm afraid that, you know, it's probably not going to cost them much, because it's being devalued through the money printing that we're experiencing now. But some of the, going back to what we were talking about on the basics of money, here are some of the characteristics of what would be called good money. The first one is acceptability. That means that the people in a culture and a society have to all agree that this is money, and they're going to use that for their medium of exchange and their store of value. The second characteristic is portability, and that just means you can move it around. You know, if you've got some cultures in the past have used like cattle for money, well, it's hard to take a cow from one place to another, so that's not a good money, although it's been used as money and still is in some places. The third characteristic is durability, and that means that it has to last a while, that it can't degrade. For example, you know, certain commodities like wheat and other grains and other items are perishable, and they can't last. So, you know, if you tried to save for your future with bushels of wheat, it would degrade and you wouldn't have anything. Another feature of it is divisibility. You have to be able to divide it into smaller segments, fragments, so that you can make the exchange you want to do. Everything's not going to be a large unit of something. You know, one gold coin might buy you a trip, you know, to a different country, but it's not going to buy, say, a pair of shoes. You'd have to be able to break that into pieces. The other feature is what they call fungibility, and basically this is the word that just means it's interchangeable, like, oh, you know, in our current system, the dollar, 2 fives is equal to a 10, and 10 tens are equal to 100, and 100 ones are equal to a $100 bill, et cetera. So you can add those any way you want to get an amount. The other thing is it has to be recognizable. In other words, people have to know what it is. They have to know that it's the money that they're being used. That's where counterfeiting comes in. It's a trick to make you think that something's money that's really not. And lastly, it has to be stable. It can't degrade, break down, et cetera. I saw a study one time where somebody looked at every element in the periodic table of the elements, and of all of the elements there that were natural and not man-made, gold came out as being the only one to fulfill all of these criteria. And I don't think it's any coincidence that gold was decided to be used as money by different cultures in different places all over the world, simultaneously, as, you know, people evolved on Earth and formed communities. So you had gold being used in Asia, in Europe, in North America, South America, Africa, and also silver. Silver and gold are very similar. The difference is that gold is a lot rarer than silver. I think the ratio in the Earth's crust is like 16 to 1, with there being 16 times as much silver as gold. So, and for a long time, back in the 19th century, most countries were on the silver standard, and that was used as money. But eventually gold won out, and some of this had to do with governments wanting to fight wars, and since gold was money, they had to pay for the wars in gold, and that drained their treasury. So of course the government went broke, and which they like to do. And then as a result of that, then after the war they had to devalue their currency to make it peg to gold again. So that's you know, another thing about the gold standard is, you know, you wouldn't have wars if we actually adhered to the gold standard. But they never do, so we have wars anyway. So that's kind of the thumbnail intro into it, and we can go anywhere you want to with it, Ed.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Great job. I think that's a good, very, very good history lesson for a lot of people. I've heard some of it. I don't remember it all. I don't know how the hell you do. But then I've known you long enough to know that I'm not surprised. You know, how would you, and a matter of fact, Mark was telling me earlier, he was concerned. He was kind of, you know, wondering about cryptocurrency. I know there's a lot of different cryptocurrencies out there. If you will, and keep in mind, people, I'm not trying to treat you, all you people, like you just, you know, got out of first grade, but a lot of this stuff is new. It was new to me. Only about a year ago. How would you classify cryptocurrency? I know you gave all the prerequisites, the requirements for a money to be a good money. Some of the people have asked me about cryptocurrency, CW. How does that compare with the other currencies, even silver and gold?
Okay. Excellent question. First of all, the word cryptocurrency is a basket term, and in that you've got real money, which is Bitcoin, and basically everything else. So in the crypto world, it's called Bitcoin and shitcoin, and I hope I can say that on the radio, but I know you never curse, but anyway.
Oh, no, never.
that's what the crypto community calls it. It's literally called Bitcoin and shitcoin. So the difference is that Bitcoin, it fulfills all of the definitional criteria of money, with a possible exception of acceptability. It's not really, it's only been around like 11 years now. So the original Bitcoin white paper was written in 2009. And of course, it's taken off since then. It is really an excellent, and tell you that the community that came up with the Bitcoin protocol, these were obviously computer programmers, but they also were schools of what's called Austrian School of Economics, which is a hard money school. And there's a lot of things in Bitcoin that refer back to gold, like Bitcoin is mined, just like gold is. That's no accident. And it also has a feature called proof of work. And this is, getting back to our original definition of money, I didn't mention this before, but I like to think of money as a claim on energy. Look at it this way. If you've got, let's say you're going to build a shed on your property. So in order to do that, you've got to go out and purchase materials. You got to have them delivered to the site. You've got to, maybe make plans. You've got to, if you want to, hire contractors if you're not going to do it yourself. And all of this takes energy. If you're going to use wood, well, a tree has to grow. And
CW, we have to go to our second break. We'll be right back.
Okay,
We'll come right back to CW after the second break. Be right back, folks. We'll be right back.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
The San Francisco International Airport's international terminal was evacuated late Friday night due to a bomb threat, and authorities found a potential incendiary device. That is according to officials. One person is in custody. Six people are dead in Montana after a 21-vehicle pileup that may have been caused by a dust storm, according to authorities. The governor took to Twitter, putting out a statement that read, quote, "I'm deeply saddened by the news of a mass casualty near Hardin. Please join me in prayer to lift up the victims and their loved ones." The National Weather Service had issued severe thunderstorm watches and warnings for south central and southeastern Montana Friday. This is USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
Federal health officials are warning that they are now expecting that the number of monkeypox cases will continue to swell through at least August, as the Biden administration says it is changing the way it will ration out vaccines to combat the growing outbreak. As of Friday, at least 1,814 cases have been tallied by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. New York makes up the largest share of the cases. Multiple senators are shocked at what they saw at the border.
Fresh off a trip to the U.S.-Mexico border, a group of Republican senators says they're shocked at what they saw. Republican Senator from Wisconsin Ron Johnson saying he can't believe how many kids are being trafficked.
How do you think the young women pay off their $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 human trafficking fee? I think we all know.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we certainly feel lucky around here tonight. We have this guy. I don't think you could go anywhere, any university, I don't care where you go, and find someone who is more knowledgeable about money and every aspects about money that you've probably never even thought about. We had a great conversation, CW and I, with Mark during the break. Hopefully we'll get to that pretty soon. So anyway, CW, we're talking about, you mentioned, you said, we're talking about cryptocurrencies. You said there was Bitcoin, yeah, and there's shitcoin. There's Bitcoin, everything else is just shit. And I said, asked CW, said, Janet Yellen and the Fed, they said they're going to have their own cryptocurrency. And I asked CW, is that going to be a shitcoin? He said it's going to be the like the grandmother, the granddaddy of all shitcoins, something like that. If we will, CW, pick up on that where you will, if I'm not rushing you too much.
No, we were talking about the difference in cryptocurrencies, and I want everybody out there to understand this. Because this term cryptocurrency is a basket term, and you know, you throw everything in it. You know, like let's say you're talking about vegetation, you can have tomatoes and cucumbers and corn and cantaloupe and all of that in there, and you can also have weeds and you know dirt and you know rotten fruit, whatever. So you know, you have to be careful about the word crypto. They use the word cryptocurrency to confuse people, because what's happened here is when after Bitcoin was invented or brought to life, I guess you might say, and it was done so very, very carefully. Somebody didn't just sit down one day and said, hey, I think I'll make a digital currency and call it Bitcoin. This was an evolution that took place over probably maybe 20 years. And there have been previous attempts to create digital currencies. They failed for one reason or another. But the guy who wrote the Bitcoin protocol, Satoshi, and nobody knows who that was. And by the way, Satoshi never took out a single Bitcoin. Well, let me put it this way. There's a million Bitcoins that's in his account, but he's never spent a single one. So that's what's called a pre-mine in the world of crypto. And this is bad because a pre-mine is where the people who invent something or come up with a protocol, they give themselves a huge chunk of it before anybody else gets anything. And that's what the Federal Reserve will do when they come up with their shit coin. They're going to make sure that they get plenty of it, and it's not going to be transparent. What are they doing on this computer program? Who knows? They know, but they're not talking. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell me. So we can only, surmise from what their past actions have been is what their future actions will be. Well, what they've done in the past, and I might be getting off the cryptocurrency topic here just a little bit.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great.
But what they've done in the past, is basically they've perverted the money system that we have here in the United States to their benefit. Now, what I mean by that is that they have created large quantities of money and they've basically given it to themselves and to their friends. And when you're the controller of a system, you can do that. There's all sorts of examples of corruption and shenanigans and chicanery. I'll just point out a couple of them. There was a professor, I believe, at Michigan State University named Mark Skidmore, who, it's been a while back, 6, 7, 8 years, I can't remember. But he pointed out that he just got a hold of federal documents and pointed out that there was $21 trillion missing that apparently had disappeared through the Department of Defense and I think housing or some other welfare agency. Well, when he pointed this out, strangely enough, all of that documentation disappeared in about a week and nothing was ever said about it again. So, nobody knows what happened there. Things like that go on. And when you control the issuance of the money, you can do what you want to with it. Now, there's a famous quote in history, which I'll share with everybody now. And it's by, I believe, Mr. Rothschild back a long time ago, and he said that he cares not who makes a country's laws as long as he controls the money. And what we've got now is an incestuous relationship between the bankers, the head of which is the Federal Reserve Bank, and the government. And the government, if they want money, which they do, we know they do, they like money, they like to spend it, then they just go to the Federal Reserve and say, and I would recommend the Mike Maloney Hidden Secrets of Money for this. He goes into it really well. But basically, the government just creates a debt, namely a bond, and then they put it up for auction. And the buyer is the Federal Reserve Bank. Now, they go through some shenanigans to do this. They run it through intermediaries like bond dealers and the commercial banking system. But the net effect of it is the government creates a debt and the Federal Reserve creates money, dollars, and then they swap them. So now the government's got the money and the Federal Reserve got the debt. Well, the debt is an obligation of the people. So out of thin air, they've created a debt obligation for the citizens of that country, wherever this transaction took place. I've used the United States, but most, so-called modern central banks do the same thing, and then you've got this same stuff going on a global basis with big international banks like the Bank of International Settlements and International Monetary Fund and all of those. So it's pretty, systemic, and the rot goes pretty deep. So, the way I look at it is they know and understand the way our current system works, and they know that it's got a life expectancy. you know, all fiat systems have a life expectancy, and fiat means by government decree, and that's what we're under now. So, you know, they know that it's going to die a death, and what they're doing is they're setting up to, if, you know, to use a football analogy, to pass the ball to another player, you know, and that the new player that's going to get the ball is going to be this digital currency.
You know, CW, if you don't mind me interjecting here too, I think one of the things that the vast majority of people out there are extremely confused about is that all of these banking cartels, like the Federal Reserve, like the Deutsche Bank, like the Bank of England, et cetera, these are not part of any governmental system. They are privately owned money-creating corporations. You know, the Federal Reserve, when it was invented by Paul Warburg and his conspirators at Jekyll Island, Georgia, back in 1913, they very carefully selected the name Federal Reserve for this thing, specifically to fool people into thinking that it was a branch of the government. But in point of fact, it is a private banking corporation from which the U.S. government, as you just explained, borrows money.
Yeah, you're right, and you know, it's all by design, of course. The stockholders of the Federal Reserve are the 12 regional banks. It gets really, really murky when you try to go through the ownership ledger and see who owns what. It's almost impossible. I understand. I've not tried it myself, but others have. It's once you get deeper into this thing, it's harder to see who owns what because it's not totally transparent. But we do know that the Federal Reserve Bank is owned by stockholders, which are comprised of the 12 regional Fed banks. So you're right. It's a private corporation. It's not a part of the government per se. And, you know, supposedly that's, if you hear them tell it, that's good because the government's, you know, held back a little bit, kind of a checks and balances type of thing. But as the way it's turned out, it doesn't seem to be, there don't seem to be many checks and balances involved.
No, it goes back to the old saying about he who pays the piper calls the tune. And, you know, because they control the money, as you mentioned earlier, Mr. Rothschild said many years ago, give me control of a country's money supply and I don't care who writes its laws. So they're all beholden to the money lenders, regardless of what party they're affiliated with or what their policies are. The people who really own and control the U.S. regime are the people who run the Federal Reserve System and the other international banking cartels that the Federal Reserve is a part of. And I give you a humorous anecdote. A friend of mine used to get invited to go to the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. They would have these public meetings every so often, and they would usually have a little cocktail and hors d'oeuvre thing afterwards. And the fellow who was the president of the Atlanta Federal Reserve
We have to go to a quick, this okay. is our last break. We'll have to speed things up a little bit if we're going to get to cover everything we want to cover. I'll be right back, folks. We'll have the expert back on. Well, he's our expert. We'll be right back, people. So hang on to your seats.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is Attorney Jason Rupp, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, this hour has gone really fast. I tell you what, this guy really knows his stuff. I told you, we were lucky to get him today. I didn't know until today if we were going to be able to get him in. But we're not going to be able to cover everything we wanted to cover. But if CW will come back, what we can't cover tonight, we will definitely cover, because the stuff we're going to get in the end of this, you might call it a lecture, a class. It's the part you really, really, really need to know. I was going to ask him about the Bretton Woods Act back in the 40s, but we probably won't have the time for that. But anyway, CW, you've put out a lot out there for people. And, you know, I've heard you talk about this a lot, and I still don't know how you know all that stuff. But before we run out of time, I'd like to ask and I'll ask you first of all, am I being an alarmist? Am I being realistic when I say this economic system? This may be a rhetorical question. The current system of currency that we're being forced to use, like you said, a fiat currency that we have because it's by a governmental decree. My first question is it going to crash? And for sure, like I think it will. And if it does, how close are we to crashing? And secondly, the second part of that question, if I'm not loading you down too much, what can we, the people, us Joe guys, that we go out and cut grass, we drive cabs, you know, we're working in laboratories, we're carpenters. What can the people do, if anything, to guard against what's coming with the crash of the system? And we'll talk about what's going to involve the crash in a second. But go ahead, CW.
As far as when the crash will occur, I mean, nobody knows that for sure. I think we're probably getting pretty close, maybe just a few years. I don't know. I think that, you know, they probably would like to introduce their digital currency before it crashes. I mean, people might be a little bit less receptive to letting the same people run a system that just got through collapsing, but I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't. But, what was the second part of the question?
Okay.
What can they do? Yes. Yeah, that's a tough one, Ed. I mean, if you look at it from the point of view that the currency or the money is going to lose value in exchange for other goods and services, then what you may want to do is get some of the goods now while the money still has purchasing power. You know, I mentioned briefly Bitcoin. We can have a whole program on that if you want to, but in a way, Bitcoin is a digital currency, just like the central bank wants to do, except that it has no controllers. It's basically the people's money. And I think that, you know, it's possible, and I certainly can't say this for a fact, but, you know, it's possible there would be migration into the Bitcoin ecosystem as the other system fails and people, you know, kind of realize that the money's losing its purchasing power. I will make this quick comment about the new digital system. What I see them doing is booting it up by just basically giving everybody free money. You know, what better way to get people to opt into your system than by going ahead and funding. They open an account with the central bank and they put $10,000 in it. Who's going to say no? So, you know, that's kind of what I see them doing before the current system collapses.
You know, before I go back to mine, Mark's chomping a bit. We were talking about during the break, Blood River Radio family, that I'm not certain some of the things we've talked about are already operating in China, maybe North Korea for all I know. But and I've heard, I don't know if it's true. I can't prove this, so don't hold me to it. In the recent shutdown, so-called COVID epidemic, and we wanted to talk about COVID tonight. We will. We will cover that, but if not tonight, the next time. But this recent shutdown they had in Australia, the people were limited by this digital type currency mechanism they have in Australia. They would, for instance, I've been told this, they would have like a credit card and you could buy pretty much what you want as long as the government approves it. But the credit card has a radius, not to be exceeded, a radius of 5 miles from your house. If you try to go get past 5 miles from your house, it would be shut off, shut down. We were talking about that earlier, and I think CW should probably let us know about some of that. Some of the things we're going to look for. Is that right? Let us know. Tell us a little bit about that that aspect of the so-called aspect of the currency when the Fed, Janet Yellen and the powers to be get their way. Do you see that coming to pass, CW?
Well, I think what you're going to see here is that it's going to be a powerful control mechanism for the people in power and authority in cahoots with the government to restrict the freedoms of the average person. And that's what this whole Great Reset is about. It's about restricting freedoms. It's about, in America, it's about taking away constitutional liberties and rights, which, you know, when you think about it, America is fortunate in that we have a constitution which codifies individual liberties and rights. And if you're going to have a an oligarchy basically controlling everything, then you can't have a constitution for the average person. That has to go away. So that's part of this. And the purchasing of within 5 miles of your, that's just another form of lockdown. You know, it's kind of a monetary lockdown, like you had a lockdown in COVID. Same thing, only a different mechanism. Well, one reason you would say, well, we're going to lock you down because we don't want you spreading this virus. And then, we're going to lock you down with by spending your money. You can't get within 5 miles of your house. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, you know, I would
go ahead, Mark.
I would suggest, I would suggest to people that this, in my mind, you know, and I've given this a lot of thought over the years too, is that I think this is all the more reason for the average person to seriously consider acquiring some physical gold and silver that they can keep in a safe in their house in their hot little hand, because if you become part of this new digital currency thing and then they shut you off to within so many miles of your house, or they tell you there are certain things you can't buy, that kind of thing, they can't control how you spend coins in your pocket with your friends and neighbors who have goods or services that you want to purchase. And I've always felt like that's one of the reasons why the powers that be in these big money cartels have gotten us away from having our money tied to physical specie that has intrinsic value like gold and silver. As CW mentioned earlier, you know, throughout all of recorded human history, those are gold and silver are the two things that have been recognized everywhere by everybody at every time in history as money. And it seems to me that having some of that in your possession is a much safer bet for you to be able to continue to conduct the necessary commerce that you're going to need to survive, as a way around this digital currency thing that they're going to try to hang us all with.
I think CW mentioned that in acceptability. Go ahead, CW.
I agree with that. Yeah, I was just going to say I agree with what Mark said. I think that having some hard precious metals is an excellent idea. I would favor silver over gold just because silver is more, it's more of a exchange of value type of thing. Gold is more of a store of value. If you're going to want to spend it, you're going to have other people who are willing to accept it in exchange for other things. And I believe that that will, if we get into this digital currency and it's onerous and repressive and stifling and it limits freedom, then people are going to try to find an escape valve. And that's certainly silver and gold would certainly be ways to do that.
Yeah. And you know, I used to wonder, have a friend up in Middle Tennessee who has been in an economics guy, has dealt in gold and silver all of his life, and that's how he's made his living. And I used to ask him, you know, well, okay, if we start trying to use gold and silver again, how are we going to come to some kind of reckoning on what things are worth? And he said, don't worry about it, Mark. He said, people will find a way to decide what the value of something is. And so it'll quickly settle that a dozen eggs will be worth a silver quarter, or a gallon of gas is worth, you know, two silver quarters, and that kind of thing. And people will find a way to right. value what those commodities are worth in terms of gold and silver again. So, you know, that's another thing that people don't need to get too caught up in worrying about. Well, how do I determine, you know, what a loaf of bread is worth? Don't worry. People are going to figure it out.
Yeah, I agree. It'll grow organically. As these transactions take place, there will be a price settlement, what they call a market clearing price, and all of that will be worked out, just like you said.
Yeah, yeah, it'll happen organically, you know, and you know, what the value of a silver dime or quarter or half dollar is here in my part of Alabama may be different than what it is down in Montgomery or something like that, but people will come to a reckoning one way or the other.
Let me ask one quick question before I go back to you and go back to CW. Now, in order to, I've had people ask me this, and I've wondered myself, in order to use, say, a cryptocurrency, do you have to have, is there a possibility that the powers that be can shut off the power, can shut your cell phone off, your computer, where you could no longer use your Bitcoin? In other words, do you have to have a phone? You have to have a phone, or in order to say, for instance, if you had great acceptability, like we talked about, could you go into a store, spend your Bitcoin? If they shut shut your cell phone down, shut your computer down, because you shut the internet down without shutting the power down? I mean, you may not know that's probably too much, too complex.
Well, that's the question's been asked before, and basically you're talking about shutting the electricity down. So, you know, that's a very dark scenario. And if that happens, you're going to have a lot more trouble than whether you can spend something off a cell phone. But yeah, I mean, you know, can they actually stop Bitcoin? That's been debated. And as global adoption has taken place, it's probably past the point of no return. Now, do they want to? You better believe they do. And I think that there will be, the way they can do it is to try to segregate Bitcoin from the legacy money system, whatever that is. In other words, the gateways between one and the other, they could try to block that. But if you stayed within the Bitcoin ecosystem and didn't try to interact with the legacy system, then you might be able to do fine. That remains to be seen. I don't know exactly what the future holds, but, you know, just thinking these things through in a logical way, you know, and applying what they call game theory, which is what the Bitcoiners like to do, then you can come up with some reasonable answers to these questions.
Well, CW, we've come to the end of this hour. It's been an amazing hour. You've been more than I had anticipated. Even got one hell of a knowledge base there. Got a head on your shoulders, my brother, and I knew all about it. Well, I will be getting back in touch with CW. We'll have to get him back on because there's still a lot we had to leave unsaid. Thank you so much, CW, and thank you, Mark, for coming up with a great question. CW will be contacting you, and you do the same as soon as possible. Dear Blood River Radio family, you heard it. We'll bring him back on. We're trying to help you how to learn how to survive when this dollar is finally killed off. Hang on. We're transitioning to the second hour, everybody.